two readings from the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, and 14, 21 to 28. Barnabas and Saul sent off. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Cilicia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Lord, thank you that you speak to each one of us. Holy Spirit, would you speak through me this morning and open all of our hearts and our minds to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well done for getting through that reading. There's a lot of long place names in there, aren't there? A lot of really long, complicated words of places that are far off. I made it 9 or 10 different places that we just heard in that reading. Places that Barnabas and Saul were sent off to. They went to share the gospel in those places. Pretty much the whole of the book of Acts is just these stories of Paul's journey to all these different places to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to start new churches, to make new disciples. Fascinating stories. So this morning, what I'm going to be talking to you a bit about is church planting. You might have heard, it's been a bit of a buzzword at St. Augustine's recently, church planting. You might know loads about church planting. You might know a little bit. Might be a brand new concept to you. You might have only just heard it in these last couple of weeks. But I wonder what comes to mind when I say the words church planting. Can I invite you to take 30 seconds to maybe talk to the people around you, or if you want to sit on your own and think about it, that's fine. But just think about what comes to mind when I say the word church planting. What feelings do you have? Go. Great, I think that's long enough. I wonder what kind of things you were all talking about. Perhaps you came up with words like exciting or adventure, or perhaps nervous or unsure or challenging, or maybe what is church planting is what you came up with. So what is church planting then? Church planting is not a new thing. It's not this brand new fad that we've come up with in the last few years. Church planting is about as old as the church is. In that reading we heard, Barnabas and Saul were going from place to place. And they were starting new churches, new Christian communities, making new disciples. Church planting is going into places where there isn't a Christian presence and starting new churches that are relevant to that context. Church planting is such an opportunity to take the gospel into communities that maybe have had zero engagement with church before, into communities who maybe don't know who Jesus is, into communities that have no idea what a church is for, or what church does, or what church is. Church planting is a chance for us to demonstrate what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ, to demonstrate what it's like to live a life where we get to follow Jesus. And the Church of England, we're part of the wider Church of England here at St. Augustine's, and they've been planting churches for almost its whole existence as well. Every church congregation at some point was started because someone felt called by God to start a Christian community there. Churches haven't always just existed. St. Augustine's hasn't always been here. I'm reliably told it was built around the end of the 1920s. Before then, there wasn't a church here. But St. Augustine's was built before all of those houses were all built, before the shops were built. St. Augustine's was here, ready and waiting for those people to start moving out here. It was way ahead of its time. But what we're doing now is we're playing catch-up, and there are communities without churches, without Christian presence in them. We're trying to go into those communities where there isn't a Christian presence. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field." There are so many people who just don't know Jesus, who haven't heard the gospel. There is an urgency with which we need to be planting churches and sharing this good news. Jesus tells us to ask God to send people out. That's us. We're asking God to send us out into his harvest to share the good news. That's what we're doing when we're church planting. So that kind of leads me on to the next question of why do we bother to church plant? What's the point? Interactivity again. 30 seconds. Share with each other or with your by yourself. Why do we church plant? Why would we want to get involved with this? Go. Excellent. That's enough thinking time. I'd love to hear some of those thoughts later. And keep talking about this as well. Keep carrying on these conversations after the service. It's really helpful to keep talking about this. So I read an article during the week about McDonald's. I know I talked about McDonald's in my last sermon. I promise I'm not on commission. I just quite like McDonald's. But I read an article about how McDonald's started. McDonald's is a franchise and it's all over the world. But it started with two brothers who had kind of a burger bar, and they came up with a really good way of quickly making burgers and milkshakes. And they were quite happily getting on with it, and they had a friend who came in and went, "This is amazing, this is going to revolutionise burgers, you have to share this, this could change how we eat fast food." But the brothers were kind of happy to stay as they were. But their friend, it was their friend who identified something really special in what they had going and encouraged them to share it and not keep it to themselves because it was so good. That's a bit like what we do in church planting, just a few less burgers and milkshakes. We've received the good news of Jesus, so why would we want to keep that to ourselves? We want to share this good news that we've received. The day after Matt and I got engaged, I spent the day on the phone and FaceTime to all my family and friends because I wanted to share it with them, because I was so excited, because I thought it was really good news. I couldn't keep it to myself. And the good news of Jesus is so much better than McDonald's or an engagement. You know, it's miles better. The good news of Jesus is that he died taking on all of our sin, that he rose from the dead, conquering death so that we could have eternal life. That's good news, right? Yeah, that's really good news. We want to share that good news. How could we keep that to ourselves? The natural response to hearing good news is to share it. And we know that the good news for people who don't know Jesus is that Jesus transforms lives. Jesus brings healing. He transforms communities. He gives purpose. Where there are people, there is always a need. And we know that these people need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And Jesus can fill those needs. We share the good news because we want other people to experience the goodness of God that we have all experienced. Even if we look all the way back into Genesis, God looks at his creation and he sees that it's very good. And he tells humanity to be fruitful and increase. If there's something good going on, you want to see more of it. You want to see more of it and more of it shared around so that everyone can get involved. And another reason that we plant churches is quite simply because Jesus tells us to. At the end of Matthew's gospel, in chapter 28, there's a bit that we like to call the Great Commission. And Jesus says this to his disciples, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." That sounds a little bit like what we do at church, baptizing people, teaching people, living out lives as followers of Jesus. And it's only natural that new Christian communities come out of us following that commandment. Churches isn't buildings. We're not going to build loads of new buildings. Church is people. It's the body of Christ gathered together to worship. And Jesus tells us to go. He doesn't say, stay sitting still. People will come to you. I'll send them to you. No, he tells us to go. So we have to leave this place and identify where those places are, where there's need, where there's no Christian presence. And we are called to go there. And, you know, from that commandment, the first disciples, and they really took it to heart, the early church. So many followers of Jesus went all over the world, starting new churches, making new disciples, becoming a Christian presence in communities that didn't know Jesus. And the church has this enormous privilege to be able to do this and to have the potential to have such a positive impact on communities and transform them through what God is doing. And that's something that we want to be a part of, isn't it? Yes, it is. I want to be a part of that so badly. If you were here last week, you would have heard some really exciting news as a church. So Ian and Julie Daniels, Ian is one of our priests here, and Julie, his wife, is a licensed children's minister. They feel called to go and plant a church from St. Augustine's to a place that they've felt called to that doesn't have a Christian presence. At some point, they are going to leave St. Augustine's and go and start a new church and be a Christian presence in a community that they feel really called to serve. How exciting is that? They're going to another part of the parish to share the good news. It's amazing. Talk to them about it afterwards. They will be hanging around after the service today to answer any questions, to talk through it. You're excited, aren't you? He's nodding. At some point, Matt and I will also go from St. Augustine's to plant a church somewhere else in Ipswich. But let's pray that there are many more than just those two. Let those be the first two plants that we're sending from here, but that we become a church that is known for starting new churches and transforming communities through what God wants to do with us here. There's an American pastor and theologian called Tim Keller who wrote an article in 2002 called "Why Plant Churches?" And he kind of sums it up with this statement. "The vigorous, continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for, one, the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and two, the continual corporate renewal and revival of the existing churches in a city. Research has been done that shows that planting churches is the quickest way to make new disciples and the quickest way to grow the sending church as well. Churches that plant churches grow. That's a fact. It's been seen. So how do we do this? How do we plant churches? Seems like quite a big ask. Next week, Archdeacon Rhiannon is going to come and speak to us a bit about how we can really get involved at St. Augustine's, what it practically looked like for us as a church. But I've got a few thoughts for you. In our reading, chapter 13, verse 4, it says that Paul and Barnabas were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? We're not doing anything on our own here. We're sent on our way by the Holy Spirit. When God tells us to do something, the best thing we can do is just say yes, be obedient to what he's calling us to do. When we get involved with God, we know that his Holy Spirit is working through us. His Holy Spirit is going with us wherever we go. God doesn't say, go and plant a church and then check back with me in 6 months' time. We'll see how you're getting on. God doesn't say that. God says, I want you to go and plant a church and I'm going with you every step of the way. I'm preparing the ground for you. You're the people that I've chosen. Go. And we have this really reassuring verse in the first letter to the Corinthians. And it says this. It says, Paul writing, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. So actually, growing a church, that's not up to us. It's God that does the growing. God just asks us to work with him. He's giving us a purpose in his mission. The church, the body of Christ, that's God's way of doing mission on this earth. God doesn't need us. He could do this without us. But he chooses to use his church to make disciples. He says to each one of us, I want you. I'm choosing you. Come and get involved with this. What a privilege that God chooses each of us, me and you, to do his work. And that's not saying that we won't feel anxious or worried or a bit unsure at times. I'm sure that Ian and Julie have had those feelings. Whilst they're very excited, there are anxieties and worries that come with it. It's a new thing. It's a scary thing. God doesn't promise that everything we're going to do is easy. God takes us out of our comfort zones. He puts us into challenging situations where we can grow. But Hebrews 13 says that God will equip us to do his will. God will equip us to do his will. God has called St. Augustine's to plant churches. That means that God will equip us to plant churches. And God will equip us still here at St. Augustine's to plant churches. You know, all of us, God will give us what we need to do this because God has called us to it. And if you're thinking this is a far off fantasy, it's never going to happen, I want to tell you about a church that planted into Brighton in 2009. And they planted with 50 people. Since then, they've planted 5 churches. They're all thriving, all growing, all loving, all serving their communities. They now get about 1,000 people on a Sunday. They've gone from 50 to 1,000. And they run more social action projects than I could even begin to count. They are serving and transforming the communities all around them. They're transforming the lives of countless people who just didn't know Jesus before they planted that church into that community. Does that excite you? Because that excites me that we can be a part of something like that. And we're not going to be planting a carbon copy of that church in Brighton. We're not going to be planting a carbon copy of St. Augustine's. But it's just to give you an idea of the impact that a church plant can have when it takes itself into a community and becomes part of a community. Remember back to my McDonald's story and about the franchises. So how the franchises work is that you go and buy a bit of McDonald's and you take the blueprint, you take the DNA with you and you go and plant it somewhere else. But you have to make it relevant to that context. You have to adapt it. McDonald's, I did a bit of research on McDonald's around the world. I've done my research. So if you go to Austria, you can buy a portion of McNoodles. If you go to India, you can buy a portion of McCurry. You look at your context, see what's around you, and do what's relevant. And in the same way, the church has certain things that we do that makes us church. We worship Jesus. We share communion. We baptize people. We go into the scriptures together. All of those things make up church. But that looks different in different contexts. What works here isn't necessarily going to work in Julie's plant. What works at Ian and Julie's plant isn't necessarily going to work when Matt and I go and plant. It's about looking at where you're going and seeing what is relevant to that context. Sharing the gospel in new ways, in fresh ways in these communities. And we need to make sure that wherever we are planting, it is relevant. And it's going to serve that particular community, because otherwise we're just planting for our own gain. So how can we all get involved? This is the exciting bit. In our reading we heard in chapter 13, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then the others with them after that, they laid hands on them, they prayed for them, they sent them off to go and do God's work. I'm going to replace those names. Set apart for me Ian and Julie. When they go to plant, we'll lay hands on them, we'll pray for them, we'll send them off with huge cheers, not because they're going, but because we're really supportive of them. Hopefully, God willing, we'll replace those names with Amy and Matt. Send off Amy and Matt to go and plant a church. What other names go in that gap? Does your name go in that gap? Set apart for me, insert your name for the work which I have called them. Who in this room is God setting apart right now to go and plant churches? Who is God setting apart right now to go and take the good news into communities that haven't heard about Jesus yet? So what would be really great to do, I'm going to give you a list of things that you can do. Be praying, first and foremost, be praying. We can all do that. Be praying for the people who are planting and the teams that are going with them. Be praying for the communities in which they're planting and the people there, that God will be preparing hearts, that God will be preparing ground. Let's be praying for the people who are doing the administration and the organising, the behind-the-scenes stuff. There's a lot of legal bits and pieces that come with church planting. Be praying for those processes. We can trust that God knows what he's doing. If stuff might not make sense to us yet, that's okay. We can trust that God has called us to this and that he knows what he's doing, that he's going to send the right people. What we can do is give our full support to the church plant that we have going in a few months' time. We can be vocal about it. We can encourage Ian and Julie and their team. We can ask questions when we're not sure. We can help talk things through. We can give financially. There's a cost to church planting, but we can give specifically to a church planting fund. Perhaps you're feeling called to go with a plant. Perhaps you're feeling called to stay here and support the plant. Perhaps you're being called to be involved with a church plant that's way in the future, that we haven't even dreamt of yet. Maybe God has put a location on your heart this morning, somewhere that you know and that you love, that could do with a Christian presence in that community. Ask God how he wants you to be involved this morning. As Christians, we are all called to make disciples and share the good news. There's no exceptions. That's all of us. We're all called to do that. Church planting is something that the Church of England is really involved with at the moment. That is so exciting. Can I encourage you to go away and look some of that stuff up? It's just incredible how God is working through his church at the moment. And St. Augustine's right now is being called to church plant. So if you would call St. Augustine's home, you are being called by God right now to get involved with church planting. No backing out there, I'm afraid. This is a whole church we're being called to be involved. So this morning, it's not a case of asking, do I have a part to play? The question you should be asking this morning is, what is my role in this? God has a role for all of us here this morning. Just need to ask him what it is. You might have gathered that I am quite excited about these church planting things that God is doing amongst us. And I really hope that a lot of you are getting excited as well. And I really want to mark this morning as kind of the beginning of this journey. We're going to worship in a second with the band. But during that time, and even now as I'm speaking, can I encourage you to come forward if you think God is asking you to go, if you think God is asking you to stay put, if you think God is asking you to contribute time, resources, money, if you are just excited to see what God is going to do, can I encourage you to come forward as just a sign of that commitment to say, God, here I am, use me, send me, use me for your purposes. There's a prayer ministry team who will be able to pray for you if that's what you want. But also just come and step forward. Thank you. Come forward. Even if you're just excited, come to the front. I don't care if we've got the whole church out here worshipping God and getting excited about church planting. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you that you call us all to be involved. Thank you that you are calling us to plant new churches in new communities. And thank you, God, that you go ahead of us, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for all these people right now who are responding, these people who are excited. I think even now God is nudging people and saying, go on, just take that step. Be bold this morning. God, would you just anoint your people to plant churches, to share the gospel. Jesus.